Wow, man. That was, of course, December from Angie Mattson. And I had to place that song because it's just for those out there who are feeling the blistering cold of this month, particularly in the Midwest and the United States and back east and elsewhere, they're feeling the frigidity of cold. Again, that was Angie Mattson's song, December. And you should check her out on AngieMattson.com. She has another album coming out, and I'll keep you posted on that. But do check out AngieMattson.com, and you can download her iTunes individually or her whole entire album. And, of course, this is Andrew Fetter. And I want to thank you all out there, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. And thank you for all you listeners and future listeners. Of course, buongiorno, and to all those who do celebrate the Christmas way, Merry, Merry Christmas. And also for everyone out there, Happy New Year. And I won't be on live next week on New Year's. I will be taking a day off, but I do have a very, very special show that I did have earlier this year on April 17th, which I think it, in course of events, it should definitely apply for the coming year and ending of the old. It's called The Awakening and the Ascension Wars of the Light. And it's truly, I try to expand upon things out there and for people to perhaps strike a chord and remember who they possibly are or actually are. And those out there to endeavor on a course of enlightenment on that path toward the light. So, and to keeping on course, I do have some very special shows lined up next year, especially particular guests. I have feel very, very honored to have add another very in there. On January 22nd of 2010, I have Andrea Teja, who is a well-known master of yoga from the UK, the United Kingdom. She is very esteemed and well-known and endowed in the esoterics and knowledge with utilizing yoga practices. She has a huge, massive following in the United Kingdom. And I just feel honored to have her on that show to expand upon her knowledge, like I said, of her knowledge of esoteric practices within yoga and how we may utilize it. It's quite fascinating. And I know it's a very healing experience that you will do enjoy hearing what she has to explain. And on January 29th, the following week, I have an extraordinary writer, author, Mick Quinn, who's author of The Uncommon Path of Awakening Authentic Joy, which is an extraordinary book. He simplifies everything really beautifully about spirituality in its form. And it's simplified almost like an encyclopedia. You read it, you can even pick and choose and read where things you want to read about. You don't have to go through the whole thing down the line, but the way he wrote it, it's almost like an encyclopedia in a way. And on February 12th, I feel quite honored as well, and honored, of course, having Mike Clinton. But I also feel quite honored to have Joan Newcomb, who is author of Tapestry of Time. And I've had her, I'm going to have her on specifically, I asked her for a personal request to come on for, this is of course February 12th, and that's of course right before Valentine's Day. And I've asked her to come on to discuss how our past lives and how those we encounter, especially our soulmates, and how do they relate to our present lives? You know how you meet somebody and you think you've known them from the past life or your lover or girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever. Excuse me, a little swig of water there. But I feel it's going to be extraordinary to hear her, what she has to say, particularly when it deals with that. I had written my own book dealing with that issue. I'll call it The Heretic. And which sort of gets into that, but she gets into very in-depth of past lives and inner relations with soulmates, which I found extraordinary. So I look very forward to that. And, of course, I will have many others in the works. Of course, new other guests. And of course, I will definitely embark on whatever I'm compelled to rant or spill or tell or whatever in the coming year, which I look forward to. This year, 2009, of course, seemed like the year of change. And I think we're coming into more changes, changing of the times, as Bob Dylan would say, in 2010. But I think things have just basically been seeded, and the changes are going to start manifesting in triple fold in 2010. So I look forward to that. And of course, I know all of you will as well. And again, Happy New Year to you all, and I wish you all a very, very blessed 2010 filled with unlimited abundance of love and good health. And being that 2009 leads into 2010, duh, hello, 2009, you know, 10, which leads, of course, New Year's, which I just said, all things change. Things, you know, being that the essence of change in existence, I feel compelled to talk about some issues, one of which some would call it duality, but in reality, in like many things, if they assume, and you know what they say when you assume, that it's a duality, but in reality, it's really a symbiotic relationship of things, and that's where I'm going to get hints too. And in the Kabbalistical understandings of two, which relates to the letter bet in Hebrew, which you'll probably see in the front there. I put bet. That's actually the Hebrew letter. And it has many symbolic meanings behind it and many essences behind it. And I'm going to go into a slight little bit of it, because some of it you can't even really put into words, which is really what is unique about it. Sorry, taking out a swig of water. I was out late last night at a friend's birthday party. So, but I had to do a pre-record today for today's show. So you guys are hearing me the day before, which is sort of funny about time. You know how time is. Time's all relative. But I felt that I was compelled to do this show, and like I said, hence the two, the change. So two is a bet. In the Hebrew, with it, and it comes with it, is an understanding, like in the Kabbalah, which literally means receiving, the understanding of what to the bet is, which has a very esoteric understanding. And most, of course, will look at the simplistical, obvious, numerological of two and how it relates to their immediate surroundings in this universe or world, one of which would be, of course, the male, female would be an obvious one. Two genders. Boy, what the hell? I hear a dinging and a donging out there. two genders. And, of course, other ones would be plus and minus. Up and down, light and dark. Two points make a line. You know, like a direction. There's 2 feet, 2 hands, 2 breasts, 2 ovaries, 2 testicles, 2 lungs, 2 kidneys. 2 sets of blood circulating systems, the arteries, the veins. And of course, there's the obvious concepts of love and hate, life and death, good and bad. You know, and then there's conservative and liberal, right wing and left wing, and Democrats and Republicans, and science and spirituality. You know, these all have, you know, connotations. You can continue on. There's always two things. I mean, you can go on and on about differences. Bottom, top, you know, there's always two approaches to things, two things within every element to a lot of people. And this is starting, now there might be more, but there always starts of two things. And this is of the obvious relationship of the two in our world, our physical things that we actually perceive, that we can actually perceive them with our own eyes at this time, our own perceptions. So there are things that are sort of obvious that we look at things as two, and why they are two of those things. And people have written poetry and prose and connotations and philosophies of why there's two of these and not one of those. And, you know, why do you have one tongue but 2 ears? You know, why do you have 2 nostrils and 1 nose? You know, how come you don't have two hearts and you have one heart? But then your heart is actually split in two parts. So think about that. It seems there's always, you know, where things are made up of two. I remember a past teacher told me, for me personally, things come in twos. Like, I'll get two things. Two things will happen. You know, then you get into those perspectives of things. You know, I can keep on going about twos. You know, and then I can get into the like I said, the perspectives of two eyes, two ears, like I said, and there's faith and disavow, acknowledge and deny. Within sciences, you got the particle and wave, you know, matter and antimatter, you know, electron and proton, you know, and with all of these aspects, though, there is a symbiotic relationship. In fact, this is actual reality in all courses of events and within all elements within the universe. Everything has a symbiotic relation, at least between minimum of two things. You know, I don't care what you look at, every element there is, even the sound I speak, right, for example, you hear this words coming out of my mouth, that's one and two, you're listening, speaking and listening. Everything has a very symbiotic relation and not a duality. That's pure BS. There is no duality. There isn't two things going simultaneously in part. There is a symbiotic relation to those two items. When two things happen at the same time in a parallel event, they're really not parallel. They're always connected in one shape or form. Remember, that's one of the rules. Everything is always connected. So, where that connection is, two points. Two merges of two lines, two events. When you meet somebody, there's a merger between two. When you think of something, that's a merger of the idea and your essence. When you remember something, it's two things. You know, the other day, somebody was talking to, we were talking about what is proactive and passive thought, you know, passive thing. And if you proactively think something, it's proactive. And I said, well, what if you're listening and active and they're looking at, well, isn't that proactive? Because you're putting the effort. And it is. It's a symbiotic relationship, if you call it. It's both. But in esoteric terms, of course, it's the receiving is the more receiving end, the passive side, and the speaking or the outlay of information is the proactive in the esoteric form, but it is a give and take in both forms. You're both, you know, it's an effort. It's effort to listen, but then you're having the information is coming to you. And this is really important, which I'm going to get into within with respect to the universe, which is the esotericness situation within understanding of, you know, the two, you know. And but then there is the understanding of two. And I'll get into, like, for example, the letter of two in Hebrew is bet. And bet has a very significant symbolization even within Hebrew and within all expanses, and this is profoundly expanded upon within the understandings within Kabbalism with many texts from the Zohar to, you know, the Orot or any of the books of Raziel or etc. They all have a very symbiotic relationship, and they all expand upon the letter, the two of two. I mean, even from the idea of how the people of Israel had two mothers, you know, Rachel and Leah. They had, there's the two significant branches, the house of Joseph and the house of Judah. Those are very reasoners, too, of all things. You know, that's what I'm talking about, too. It's very significant, and that's, it gets down to the essence of it is the bet. And within it, what its vortex and what it really emulates. That is what's really significant. And that's what the two, which though emulates change, but its total significance, it begins with its innermost sanctity, which is the merger. It's like at the beginning of the symbiotic relationship. It's like, you can't even put it in words, like, it's like going opening the door, and just when before you get into the door, that's the bet. You know, it's like the door's open, right? And you're just about to step in. Just that moment when you're in, that's the bet. That's, you're like, you're not outside the door and you're not inside the door. You're just like crossing over like a threshold, if you can call it. That's the bet. that's the beginning. It's a significance. And there's a very significant one. Well, I'll give it to you. Is in the reason why you say, they say in Hebrew, bait, which literally means house. People heard of Bet Lechem or, you know, Beit Lechem or whatever, Beit, Beit, which means the house of, or house of David, or house of the home. That Bet is basically almost like the within, that like a, almost like a gateway that you walk through, the Beit. It's the very beginning when you walk through. So it's significant that you're not out, even though you're within the house, like the Beit, you're still within the universe. Be'et Olam. That's why I always say Be'et Olam instead of just Olam. Be'et Olam. You're within the house. You're in the Beit. It. Ait. So Ait is like the Yud, which signifies God in the universe, and Tav, and which is your like sort of protection, but it isn't. It's a sort of mini separation, but in reality, to remember that you're within the house, but you're still within the confines of the universe. And people, of course, forget that. It's the remember to understanding that you are never outside the universe. There is actually no separation, even though you built this little house. That's the essence of Beit, Bet. And then there's Biyahad. You know, I've said this in past shows. It's talking about what they mean by to be one with God. And they don't really, it's not to be that there's a one God, it's to be one with God. And what they mean by, and then people utilize that in all their esoterics with their Taoism, to be one with the universe, or whatever nomenclature you use. To be one is it's the beginning of it. It's a very initial proactive thing, if you want to call it that. The beginning of getting together. It's the initial, okay, we'll call it effort. it's that thing you just get right before it. And then that's what the togetherness, the biyahat, to be in the most kind. And you get to that, it's very important because that's the, it's almost like the bridge. It's that very beginning of you becoming together. In Hebrew, you'll see, like, ben a time, in the meantime. Get it? In the meantime, beh. Been a time, in the meantime. Bifnim, in between. In between. In fact, literally, be in Hebrew means in. Get it? In. Biyahad, be, together. It's literally the essence of that little bit that almost you don't even have a word for, because you can't even put a word to it, because it's like that little element, that little bridge. That's what's so significant about it. It's that essence. That's why even the word which I'll get into is why it has, it's part of the word of Bina, which is understanding. And then there's, of course, the very essence of Ben Bat. I don't know if people heard like Bar Mitzvah and Bat Mitzvah. They probably heard that. And the little essence of what Ben and Bat is, Ben, of course, in the meaning of it, it means son. In the literal translation, and bought, of course, daughter of. So, you know, when you say mitzvah, when people hear that, mitzvah actually means literally good deed. So is that son of good deed and daughter of good deed? No, what it's really talking about, be, using the masculine form, that person is doing, entering a deed, a good deed, trying to emulate a good deed. You know, and whatever the because of the practice of them doing their bar mitzvah, because they come of that age, it's that deed. They're actually, because they're at adult, they have that choice of, they've leveled up to a new choice where they actually start creating good deeds, because they have that choice of creating deeds. So why not do a good deed, which is the mitzvah? So that's the ben and bat. But there's another real important that by that, Ben and Bat, which has a universal connection of both genders within the universe. And that's really the esoteric part of the Ben and Bat, Ba, Nun, and Bat, Tuf. The Nun is just the ending of both in generic, but it's the Ba, it's putting them within the universe. It's within the Ba. It's putting the very essence of both genders, both whether it's a she or he, you're still within the universe. You're all, that's your connection. It's almost like the, some people say when, you know, when you go out of body, what you do, you have like a cord. That's the bleh. Your cord is your connection from your physical side to the spiritual side, the bah. It's your connection to the universe, that bah. That is your, the line, the connection, the communication line. That's the very essence, the very beginning of it, that connection. You know, it's like me being on the phone. It's just, it's that Michelle, I put the phone to my ear and just before I hear it and I hear that click, buzz, and I hear it's, you know, somebody talking, the bah. That's it. So that's the essence of it. Connection between the, within the universe. And then there's Ben Adam. People probably have heard that many times if you read Hebrew, Ben Adam. And if you read Ezekiel, for example, they do the little translation, which is really not correct. They read it literally as son of man. When Ezekiel says, and they're telling him, son of man, you know, because, but that what it is son of man is, like I said in the past show, I believe, it's humanity. Because Ben-Adam is son of man, meaning all essences of man. It's the man of mankind. And of course, mankind, we're using man in our English because we don't say her kind or female kind. Sorry about that, but ironically, that's the language. But it's and to embody humanity and connecting humanity within the universe. That's what ba. Like I said, the bud, the connection, Adam within the universe of all humanity. We're connecting us, all of humanity, still having the bud, our connection with humanity, and our connection with that we're all of the same thing. That's what the Adam is, that we're all part of one system, one humanity, of the one essence. Of course, people take it literally, think we came from Adam and Eve, and yada-da, but that's not what it's all about, and they misinterpret it, and they... uninformed, try to take it for literally, and they'll fight over whether we're man or we're from monkeys or whatever, you know, whatever the primate we cause, because they're being stupefied. They're not taking what it really is. But that's a whole other issue, and that's what I want to get into. My issue here is talking about ba and getting you the connection. Now, there's another thing people probably have heard. And that's the word like Emmet, for example, and you know, which means truth. When somebody says, you probably heard, and everybody's out there heard the word amen, you know, a prayer, da 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 da, whatever, and they say in their church or whatever, and they say amen. Most people don't even know what that means, but it means to believe, right? That it just literally means l'amen, to believe. Not necessarily it's true, it's what you think might be true. Or you believe, whatever. Emet now literally means truth. So again, it's to believe what you think is truth. It's your perspective again. The irony of that is when you say be'emet, like emet, the truth, be'emet. It's like God in the universe playing a joke. Oh, really? That's be'emet means really. So it's like, even in Hebrew, there's a profound buffoonery, making a joke of people who think what they believe or what they think is the truth is really be'emet. Oh, really? So it is the essence of what you believe in. So ba has that even profound joke within it. So anyway, that's what amen and all that is, and what you believe is, yet again, be'emet. Bama or Bamet. Oh, really now? And of course, there's other words that have a very unique essence to it. There's Betach, which means of course, and that Bet has a, you know, Tach, but like I said, of course. And you can't even put words to it. It's putting into the essence of it, on course. Betachai, like of course, like I understand, ba, da, ba. So it's like the essence, I'm in there with it. It's not a coincidental thing, that's why the utter essence of Betach, Betach, is in there. And of course, like I said, ba always has the playing of being the joker, like I said earlier. It has its duality in a way, but it's really a symbiotic joke. Like there's an old, I'll just quickly say there's an old joke about Israeli saying that God makes a joke of those who make plans. So in a sense, that is the joke. But there's a very lot of other essences of, like I said, in the blessing, the of what the essence of, which I'm going to say, which is Baruch. People heard in Hebrew, when people pray in Hebrew perhaps, they say Baruch, meaning to bless, whatever. I'm sure you heard like Barack Obama, Barak, comes from the word Baruch, which is to pray, or actually blessing, actually, sorry. Blessing, Baruch, literally comes from, here's the root now, so now you'll get that real, I'm getting closer to the essence, Ba, like I said, is getting the essence of in, to connection with, in, and Ruach, Ruach comes as the root of the spirit, so you see, it is within the spirit, it's, that's the blessing. And that's what the essence of understanding what the Ba is, that the very essence of the connection. It's the very beginning of the connection. It's like almost the effort. It's the within, the spirit. It's the essence of the blessing, thus it is Baruch. And you know, there's also significant other establishments of Be or Ba, which has a lot of esoteric foundations in running through scriptures. And you'll even find these not just within the Torah, but you'll find these also in like Bhagavad Gita and other esoterics in the Quran and some, a lot of scriptures, there'd be connotations. You'll find the utterance of Ba. And without them realizing it, the Ba is the beginning, the very start, the connection between the two. Like, you know, they mention like the Shemit, the Exodus, which happens to be the second book of Moses. Of course, what is that all about? It is about so many changes. It is about the beginnings of things. It is about the beginnings of the people of Israel to reestablish themselves, to receive the law, to start things. You'll see a lot of things, and all these have like certain letters starting, you know, of the start, the very beginning. And it's not Beresh. And in Hebrew, in fact, the first book, which is Genesis, in Hebrew is Bereshit, which is the most important, Bereshit. Ba, again, in the ba, in beginning, ba, as I said, the very tip, starting with the bet. And it's very important to understand that. It's, the two, it's like the souls, also Bet has, like I said, the essence of two, which are like the two Rachim, the two souls which are emerging, which are found in all establishments. Whether it's the soul of the universe and the soul of humanity, or whether it's the soul of two lovers, two soulmates. It's that very beginning, the Ba, the Bet. The two friendships who found themselves to be friends, the very beginning, Ba. The in-between, the beginning of two. It's the two brothers, Ba. Whether they be brothers even fighting, siblings who are in quarrel, is the Ba. And that Ba can, you know, like I said, it's the beginning. Like, and when two brothers are fighting, they can quickly change if they change their thought patterns, hello, and reach out. Takes two to reach out and not perpetuate hate and division and fear. But it's that Ba, the very beginning to start that. And of course it hasn't happened, that Ba, particularly in the Middle East or other places around the world, because it's not just the Middle East, it's all over the place, but it's very well magnified there, and as well as other areas where there's extreme violence over my God is better than your God, pathetic crap. But or it's also of two sisters, Ba, two houses, Ba, the bite, two cousins, two branches, you know, the Kachinas, which I talked about in the past, two peoples, Ba, Bet, Beshalom. Beshalom means with peace, right? Salam Aleikum, Beshalom. with peace. But be-salam, be-shalom, in peace, meaning also in completing, the starting of. That's the true essence of the understanding of bina, ba, the start of the connection, the two, is the essence of the mutuality between two establishments, the two things. That's what the essence of it, and that's the true understanding of these things. So that's what I'm trying to get to with Bet. And I felt it very significant today because we are, like, within Christmas, those who follow Christmas, those who follow Hanukkah or whatever holidays, you know, some people feel strange or different if that's not part of them. And yet, because we've divided ourselves rather than united ourselves, it should be a place of inclusion, not exclusion. And that's the essence of Be, to become one with your humanity, the Be of two. Your friend, your neighbor, your family member, daughter, son, father, uncle, cousin, nephew. You know, it's Ba. And you can do, and Ba is the start of a positive relationship. Of course, Ba can become negative too. If somebody does something, goes on the dark side, plays the perpetrator of whatever, something negative. And there's the Ba of being the, playing the victim. There's the Ba of being all poor me. The two. It takes two to tango. I don't know that saying. It takes two to tango. It's like saying poor me when we just got screwed out of healthcare. Oh, we told you so. You know, in the United States. But it takes two to tango. But if we make initiative, that very essence to move or changing our thoughts, it starts with the but, the two, bet. It's the very beginning. Take that, it's that little step. Every little, you know how everybody says there's every little step makes a big step. Well, that's the ba, the very effort, the very beginning, the within, the start. That's that essence of the two, which creates change, motion. That's like I said, all things begins with listening, of course, of the universe, which is part of the ba. Start to listening. Start listening to nature. Start listening to the universe, God, Ein Sof, beyond the infinite. But two, it begets the understanding. It notes the understanding that we are all ba, with, one with. You know, there's a famous prayer, and people probably, I'm going to sort of try to read it to you. And I've said it before, and probably people who are Jewish or even some people who are not Jewish may know this thing. They probably heard there's prayer that Jews say three times during the year, and they'll, of course they'll say it, and they heard it. It's called the Shema. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. And of course, right after it says, Baruch Shem Kavod Melahoto Le'olam Vayad. And that, what they'll literally translate that into is, Hear, O Israel, Lord, our God, the Lord is one. Because I've said in, like, in past shows that really, it literally means Be'echad, mean to be one with God. That's really the essence. Hear, O Israel, meaning everybody listen. God and us are one. We are all one. I mean, that's what even Baruch Hashem Kavod Melahoto Le'olam Vayed. And they'll literally say, blessed be the name of the glory of his or her kingdom and his kingdom forever and forever, whatever. That's literal, but that's not the essence of it. Baruch Shem Kavod means I'm giving a blessing from my spirit, within my spirit, to the very honor of the essence of God's name, meaning I'm actually uttering a respect to utilizing any essence of the universe and having respect. Mechoto. Mechoto means everything. When they'll say it's kingdom, but it's meaning all unification, because we all live, people heard Jesus call it the kingdom, we all in the kingdom and all that. We are all within the kingdom. They take it as like kingdom of like things, but it's actually called like our realm. We are all within all realms, but that's of the realms. Estelle alum to, they'll say it's the world forever and ever, but it's actually forever to bleed self, the non, to there's no end. There is no end. There's Ein Sof. That's what is beyond the infinite. So it's a blessing to the name without end, ba, until all end. But what I want to get to is, right after you say all that, said, Hero Israel, Lord, our God, Lord is one, blessed be our, you know, the name, data, that, both, that stuff. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Echad, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kavod, Me'ahot Olam Ve'ed. What I wanted to get to, then, which is really, really important, they say, Ve'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha, B'kol, Lafka, Kol, Necha, excuse me, Ve'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha, B'kol, Lavavcha, U'kol, Nafshcha, U'kol, Me'odecha. And what that literally is saying, you shall love the Lord all, your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Meaning loving the universe with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Of course, it said there's an essence of reason why it says three times. But the essence of it was I was trying to emphasize is the words they use. Because it's not im. Im you can also say with in Hebrew. You could say, they could have said, instead of bekol, in kol, the vavcha, in kol nafshecha, in kol meodecha, that's sort of like with, but they use be. They use bekol, with all, meaning the starting, the beginning, the connection. That's what the essence of it. That's what I'm trying to expand upon. That in all things, it's with all your heart, with all your might, with all your soul. That is the essence, the ba. That was the true form. And like I was trying to say, is that all things begin with, ba, listening to. It's a connection of the universe, the nature, God, the Ein Sof, the Tao, beyond the infinite, ba, bait, tu. That's what the tu is. It notes the understanding that we all ba, with ba, bet, within the earth, ba, with humanity, one with bet, universe, one bet with one consciousness. Hence the two, the bet, the understanding, the bina. Because with bet, to the understanding, comes the wisdom, which is also happens to be the second pillar, which I've mentioned, and you can always look up the second pillar on the opposite side, within the understanding of Kabbalah, which is the receiving end. Of course, the other side is wisdom, and the center is knowledge. That's the three sefrut, or da'at. Some people, I'm getting really in the theory of here, the theology of within Kabbalism, which they set up in the dynamics of concepts. But that's what the essence of it is. It's the ba. It's the bina. You know, and I said to you, it's very, like the most very basic beginning of connections. And why I found significance, because right now we are in a change of atmospheres and people are changing within their systems. People are going to find things in the very coming year, the ba of their DNA. DNA is starting to change. Their thought patterns, the things they're seeing around them, the understanding, the bina, is going to be affecting them. They're going to see things and understand things that they've never realized. You know, you yourselves out there will see things, and as knowledge progresses and understanding comes in there, and wisdom adds on to that. With understanding comes wisdom. So as you learn and find things about yourself and healing and moving course on a direction toward the light, thing, one gate opens, bah, into one you open another realm. And like I said, remember I just said ba'olam. You're going through one realm, bah, into the next. That's the change. That's the essence of two. As we go into the next year, it's the same thing. Next year is, you know, very important because we're going into that 2010, you know, which is a significant, which by the way adds up to a three, which is, you know, very symbolic for justice, truth, and this is what's going to be coming out, I think, within the next year, justice and truth. Things are going to be disclosed. Things are going to be open and seen for the first time. People are going to be, wow, oh, really, be met. people are going to open and see things they've never really understand. And there's going to be people afraid. You know? And again, Ben Metz. Oh, really? So that's what the essence I was, why I felt so compelled to do too for this show. It's the bridge, or it's our change coming into the new year. It's going to be happening. Every step we'll be coming through the next year is the bet. We will opening up one door to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next, and ever expounding change. Change is going to be so phenomenal. That'll be so like a common thing. Changing events. And it will seem sometimes overwhelming. And when it feels overwhelming, don't, you know, worry. Just get, sit back and lay back. It's like, if you feel like it's getting too overwhelming for yourself, and it might be, because some people are like, wow, look at all this stuff. Everybody has their own approach. And, you know, if you feel overwhelming, that's fine. But don't jump to conclusions. Just relax and kick back and observe and take in the information at your own speed and taking for what you're in, and on your own, don't take what maybe I say or the other person or any other host or any other book or anything. Research yourself. Find your own relationship to it. Go within yourself. Bifnim, within your heart, ba, in your heart, balev, in your, within you, ba, and get what's really the truth, because that's where it is, and that's what they mean. When they say, you know, like I'll say again, you know, with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. Yeah. Hafta, you know, like I said, it's b'kol afcha, in all your heart. B'kol nafshecha. It's with all your soul, your nefesh. Actually, that's really, nefesh is your physical part of your soul. But with all your might, you know. The kol me'odecha, me'odecha, that's all your effort that you can do. So that's the essence, that's the binah, an understanding of bet. And that I felt so compelled to expand upon that, like I said, because within this year, events are going to be disclosed. You know, we may be, and I feel that we will be, finally there will be disclosure of ET events. You know, I've been on one show in particular, and I'll name him, Rob McConnell, and he had asked me to come on a show, and at the end, not just mine, but I guess the other people who we talked about extraterrestrials, he, a denier that they even exist, even though it's in front of your face, you know, hello. You know, told me where I have to see it. Well, can you see, you know, the wavelengths coming off an antenna? Can you see electromagnetic energy? Can you see magnetism in the air? You can't with your naked eye. We'd have to have some instruments to show that they exist for our own eyes, because we're so, let's say, we have to fancy our own ego, as they say, to prove that they exist. I mean, things were already proven mathematically, as Einstein would say. And then after theory comes the fact. When he said space was curved and they had to prove it and prove it. And finally, you know, they did that famous shot. I think it was in Australia where they actually showed, I think it was a lunar eclipse or a solar eclipse. And they showed the eclipse of the star. And actually, they proved that space is really curved. I mean, people had to actually see it in front of their eyes to believe it. It's a perception. They have to see it to believe it. But in reality, all reality isn't just perception of your own eyes. That's, you know, when you see, do you see love? When you're saying something, oh, I love this person, can you see that? When you feel angry, do you see angry? But it is real, correct? You know, but people want to try into finite things, into projecting things of a finite, because they don't have any bina understanding. And that's the point I'm trying to get to. The bina of understanding is not that you see it, but you understand its existence. You know it's there. It's like, I taste this orange. and I know it tastes bitter. How do you know it tastes bitter? Well, because I put it in my mouth, I tasted it. Can you see or how would you know it's bitter? So I take that same bitterness and I give it to and that sweetness, and I tell somebody else, oh, can you eat it? And he or she goes, oh, that is sweet. But everybody has, like I say in Hebrew, al tam v'ref ein ma litvakeach, taste and smell, there's nothing to argue with. What's sweet for you may be bitter to somebody else. Remember? Some people don't like sweetness, and some people do. And some things may be too sweet for somebody and not sweet enough. Some things might be too bitter and not bitter. So see, it's all in perspective. But does exist, right? There's an understanding. That's the essence. That's the understanding of the truth essence. That's the bina, ba, the two. And that's the important thing to understand. You know, we're all on this tree of life with different perspectives, but we're all connected. We may view things in different perspectives. There is one absolute thing, that there's the universe is absolutely beyond the infinite, beyond realm after realm after realm. That doesn't even have to be proven. That's just there. You know, it's there. So to say that, oh, there can't be extraterrestrials that have been here, that's sort of like, to me, that's basically idiotic. That's like somebody sitting on an island that's never seen a ship. And a ship may have gone right by you, right in front of your face, and you didn't even know what it was. And therefore, oh, it doesn't exist. They may even show a picture and sticking right under you. There may be an alien standing right next to you right now, and you don't even know it. You may have, there's also called star souls, which I've expanded upon in past shows. You may have somebody whose body is from here, but his soul is not what they call Earth originate. His soul is, let's say, from Orion or Pleiades or some other universe and is in this body for whatever reason, for awakening, what they call, some people call it the wanderers. And they'd be right next to you. You might be one of them, and you're not even aware of it. But they exist. There are a lot of things that exist that's now coming to fruition. The esoterics are merging with sciences. Even look at quantum physics. Before, science used to separate the nature from humans, and now, and from thoughts, and now they're realizing, uh-oh, we sort of screwed up, didn't we? We assumed things, that things were finite, and we're finding out, oops, things aren't really finite at all. And it all took a little guy who was in Berlin and then Switzerland, and eventually went to Princeton, who sort of changed those dynamics through relativity. But it didn't start with him. It started way before that. There was, go back to Taoism, go back into the very essential of within Judaism. Of course, it was lost, it was changed, manipulated amongst the masses, or those who knew about the truth, but didn't want to disclose. Amongst the Sunni of Islam, they know the real truth, not the people who stand behind clerics and say, kill the infidel, or kill the Jew or the Christian, or let's destroy Israel or, you know, the U.S. That's not really the real essences of their dogma. They lost their dogma all the way down the hill. Or my way or the highway or it's Jesus or you're going to hell. They have no clue, because that's not the, that's not in the reality. That's Bemet, oh really. And that's the what people are going to start seeing more and more. They're becoming aware of. And not just for me, check it for yourself. Check it out. Feel from your heart what's really truth. It's really in there, not from perspective, from your real essence. You know, everything has a certain point to it. You know, there's certain dynamic that people assume things, and in reality, they're different. And we choose our own ways of looking at things, but that's only a perspective of things. That's not in reality of things. So, like I said, people need to adjust their so-called thinking caps. The way they look at things, and You know, there's, and here I'm going to say from what Albert Einstein had said, few are those who see with their own eyes and feel with their own hearts. Think about what that meant. Get it? Few are those who see with their own eyes and feel with their own heart. Meaning, most people see what they're being told to see or perceive. Most of those are feeling what they're being told to what to feel. So they're basically telling you, other people are telling you, hey, this is what the book looks like, and this is what you're going to see, and that's what we're telling you what to look at, and that's what your eyes are going to see. You feel with your own, and like you said, few are those who, there are few that feel with their own hearts, referring to there are few people, and hopefully there's people that's going to change, instead of feeling what, you know, the pastor, the rabbi, the imam, or mullah, or priest, or cleric, or president, or anybody, authority, whatever, tell you what to believe. Feel with your own heart, with the real true essences, because that's the important, that's the ba, the bifnim. So, with that, you know, like I said, you know, it's like I said, it's b'kol lefcha, b'kol nafshcha, b'kol menedecha. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, bina. The understanding of two, the bet. And with that, I want to thank you all, and I wish you all a glorious, again, New Year. Happy New Year to you all. And filled with unlimited abundance of joy and unlimited abundance of love and, of course, good health. And with that, I'm going to close with Blind by Masonic Temple, and they're soon to be coming out there here. And you can go check them out, myspace.com/MASTEM. Thank you once again. God bless you all, and thank you.